God's grace and His mercy and His peace is absolutely here with you because of the empty tomb in Jesus Christ. Amen. We say this. Have any of you experienced this? I don't know if any of you have gone to any other church at Easter or during an Easter season and used that Easter greeting. That Easter greeting is just very common among Christians. In fact, like if I do a graveside service for a Christian person, I will often typically end it with, I say the benediction, then I say, Christ is risen. And they say, He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We add an amen at the end. Let me tell you why we do that. So I have found myself embarrassed in front of other pastors because at the church I had in Portland, because the traditional one is you just say, Christ is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And so I said that the first year I was there, and I talked all about the history of the statement and why we say it and how Christians greeted one another. And I had a Pentecostal guy who was in that church, and I said, so here we go. Christ is risen. And everybody goes, He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And that guy goes, Amen. So I said, okay, let's do that. I like that. It is so. I love that in this... beginning of our service, we did Psalm 66. So in the beginning of our service, at Psalm 66, we do the first nine verses. Here's the phrase. Here's the sentence. Come and see what God has done. How awesome His works for mankind. We've used that all year. That's been our theme all year long. Come and see what God has done. And you know, we've used it in chapel, we've used it in devotions, we've used it on retreats, they've used it in youth group. That theme has been, we've repeated it over and over because there are so many come and see moments in the Bible. Just in the life of Jesus, the whole life of Jesus, like when we go on, when we jump back to Christmas, there was a great come and see, right? Come and see the baby in the manger. The angels tell him, we got to go and see. Come and see a star in the sky that led the wise men to the infant king. Or when Jesus becomes an adult, his cousin John the Baptist points to him and he says, come and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then Jesus meets a woman at a well, a Samaritan woman at a well, and she's overwhelmed by Jesus who reveals that He's the Messiah to her. And then she runs and says, come and see a man who knew everything about me. You got to come and see this guy. Or come and see the man who healed their paralytic but began by forgiving his sins. Come and see the man who dared to touch a leper and embrace him. Come and see the man who called Lazarus out of the tomb. You got to see this guy, right? Come and see. And even just in Holy Week, and it's been quite a week, starting with last week. It was just a week ago, we were waving palms. And then if you came to any of these services during the week, I mean, Thursday, we had our first communion kids, and we remembered Jesus' foot washing and Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, and then He's in the garden, and He's praying, and He's arrested, and He's hauled off before the leaders, your religious leaders. And then Good Friday, it was a dark day. That's a hard day. I am so glad it only comes once a year. I don't think I could take it. And thank God for today. Because just in Holy Week, people said, come and see, there's a king on a donkey. Or come and see the next day, Jesus is throwing out the money changers out of the, come and see that. He's throwing the money changers out of the temple. Or come and see this woman who showed up last night and took a year's worth of salary to buy some perfume to pour it over Jesus. What a waste. You got to see this thing. Or come and see a rabbi who holds his disciples' dusty, smelly, dirty feet in his hands and washes them. Come and see a Passover meal that does much more than save you from death here and now, but saves you for all eternity. And yes, come and see a Jesus who was mocked and beaten and abandoned and betrayed and bloodied. Come and see Him lifted high on a tree. come and see a public execution. And then even on that Sunday morning, please remember the women, as awesome as that is, that they're the first evangelists, the men are just hiding in the corner and they're going to the tomb. They didn't go anticipating seeing a risen Savior. They went to see a corpse, right? They had spices and burial things with them, expecting to see a corpse. And so here's the angel. Why do you look for the living among the dead? What are you looking for? And you know, you can imagine, can't you? You know, this is the one time in the whole Easter account in Holy Week where that particular phrase is used, where the angel says, come and see. Check it out. Look for yourselves. Come and see this thing. And it's an interesting thing because there aren't many times when you ask someone to come and see something and then you throw a curveball at them. I need my assistance, okay? Okay, good. You remembered this time. So check it out. See this? I got this. It's awesome. Do you, anybody, is anyone old enough? I embarrass myself now. Let's make a deal. Anybody? Door number one, door number two, door number three, right? And so you want to make a deal. And so you had the beautiful, well, you had something up there doing this, you know. And so I wanted to set something up to you because this is certainly better than let's make a deal. Right? I mean, they just had vacations and cars and, you know, things like that that you could get. But you never wanted to get the one with the donkey, right? Do you remember that? You didn't have the one with the donkey. So, I put something very special for you. Ready? And come and see. Absolutely nothing. And there's a double-edged sword here on this. I'm going to have those guys take this way. This is a tricky thing to talk about. Because some of you today may be in an empty spot. That's an empty tomb. There are empty things in our life. There are times of loss, times of broken, times of loneliness, isolation. I want to show you a little video. So Ryan was a youth pastor in Alaska. His very first year as a DCE or youth guy there in Alaska, he came up with a brilliant idea. He put hundreds and hundreds of eggs together for an Easter egg hunt, and he thought to himself, you know what? The tomb was empty. Let's make them all empty. He needed a pastor to coach him on this. Or a mom, right? How do you think that'd go with a three-year-old, right? So, but anyway, it was great. He told it this morning. He shared a message. It was good at sunrise service today. But you know, it's funny, those empty things, when you're anticipating finding something and getting nothing, and in this world, the world will disappoint us again and again and again and again. It comes up empty. But when Jesus comes up empty, we have something altogether different. Martin Luther calls this the great reversal. I love this because constantly throughout Holy Week and through Jesus' ministry, he's reversing things. King on a donkey, humble is actually glory. An offense actually shows the delight of God. The cross is a victory, not a tragedy, and on and on. And a tomb is a gateway to life instead of like there's, are you singing Graves into Gardens? We're doing it later, or did we do it already? So Graves into Gardens, I just love that. He's a great reversal. That's what Jesus does all the time. So he takes empty and makes empty full. Why? Because in our case, you know what's empty? You know what is no more? Guilt, shame, anxiety, despair, loss of hope, because our God loved us so much. Because I don't know about you, when I look in the mirror, I go, how can he put up with even me? And he is still here. God never abandons. As broken as the world is, as broken as people is, and you don't have to listen to 10 minutes of news to almost despair over the world and say, God, how can you be so good? That in our emptiness, you never leave us alone. You never abandon us. You always are there with us. And so praise God for an empty tomb. praise God that the guilt is gone because of what he's accomplished. The shame is gone because he knows it and has forgiven it. Death is gone because he has defeated it. Sin and its effects are no more because he has crushed the serpent's head. Your great enemies are defeated. Praise God for the empty. But praise God also that Jesus makes a promise in which he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I just want to remind us of the promises God has given us, because today we are going to come to the table. But even before that, on Thursday of this week, a mom and her two kids were baptized right here. Entrance into the kingdom of God. Forgiveness and washing and cleansing of sin. Jesus saying, I am there. It's just water, people, until there's some Jesus in it. And when there's some Jesus in the water, it transforms us, it changes us, it adopts us. And now we drink deeply from the wells of everlasting life, and the water, the living water of Jesus Christ, flows through every one of Jesus' baptized children. Praise God. We're going to come to the table. And you will not receive a symbolic remembrance of something Jesus did 2,000 years ago. It's Jesus keeping his promise when he said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. How? How? I mean, I have memories of my mom. They're powerful. They're vivid. I'll never forget. She's not with me. People who say that, she's not with me. She's in heaven. Praise God. What, I want to yank her down here and keep her with me and keep her from there? So thank God she's in glory with her Savior. Thank God, and I have those memories. But this is more than that. It's Jesus saying, you will remember me because I will be with you. In my body and in my blood, you can be certain that when you taste that, when you touch that, you smell it, you use your senses to grasp hold of it, Jesus is saying, just as certainly as you know that that's, I am there. I am present. And what a powerful promise. So is there an empty tomb? Sure. And what Jesus has given us instead is his presence with us, to feed us, to sustain us, and then the power and promise of his word. Please, people of God, be in the word, the living word, because there, Christ lives, his spirit lives, and God speaks over and over and over again. So when you feel empty, Jesus is the one who wants to fill. And so our Jesus has taken the empty and removed guilt, shame, sin, its death, and filled it with his own presence, his promise, and the certainty of his peace. Today, Christ lives. Today, the resurrection is yours. Today, be filled with the promise of God. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.